Well, today we are wrapping up the series that we have been in together for the last several weeks. And if you're just joining us for the first time today, what we've been doing together over these last couple of weeks is we have been looking at two of the most famous verses that are found in the New Testament, two of the most familiar verses that that Jesus speaks to us. And what we've been doing is we've been talking about the connection between these two words. And we said even though both of these words are very emotional words, and the truth is for some of us, they're kind of loaded emotionally. They're very important words, and the reason they're so important is because they're also relational words. And we've seen that in these two words, what Jesus is doing is he is inviting us into a relationship, but not just any relationship. He's inviting us into a growing relationship. And the sequence of these words is incredibly important because, as we've said each week in this series, you're never going to have a growing relationship, right, with somebody that you don't trust. And so in our very first week together, we saw how Jesus himself, how he demonstrated the kind of relationship that our Heavenly Father wants to have with every single one of us, every single person in our world. We said it was a relationship that was characterized and defined by kindness, right? Not fear, not intimidation, not punishment, not any of those things, but a relationship that was genuinely kind. And we said that actually makes a lot of sense because it is God's kindness, right, that leads you and I, that leads us to being able to feel like we can actually trust in him. And trust, we said, is what ultimately paves the way for each of us to obey. And then last week, we took kind of a side route for a moment, and we talked about this word right here, because we said for all of us, right, in any relationship, actually, the path from trust to obey, but especially in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, the path from trust to obey, it always runs through belief. Right, and then so last week we took a little stop on our journey from trust to obey, and we talked about something that the Apostle Paul wrote, something that tells us very specifically about why we can trust Jesus, and something that we learned really helps us to understand our Heavenly Father's heart for each one of us. We saw the Apostle Paul, he told us that the reason why God sent Jesus in the first place was because he's just, right? Because God is just, but he's also the one who justifies. We said this kind of demonstrates in a very clear and simple way that God truly understood the ramification of sin. And God didn't say, we're just going to, kind of wave a magic wand and change the standard and, all those things that used to be bad, they're now okay. God didn't do anything like that. Instead, what we saw that God do is God said, okay, I'm gonna make right a problem that I didn't create. I'm gonna actually address sin that's not my sin. I'm going to address this problem, God said, that exists between humanity and me because of their sin, right? I'm gonna be just because something has to be done. But I'm also going to be the justifier because I'm the one who's going to do it. Right? God said, I have to be just. Sin, it must be addressed, but I'm going to be the justifier because I'm going to send my son to address somebody else's sin. We said, this is what Jesus has done for every single one of us. This is what Jesus actually offers to do for every single person in our world. And understanding this, right, when we talked about this last week, when you kind of have that aha moment, like this is what Jesus has done for me, right, that when that kind of dawns on you, that's what has led so many of us, right, at different points in life to kind of transfer our trust away from ourselves and onto what Jesus has done for us. And we said that is what gets us ready to finally talk about this word right here. And this is one of those times where I genuinely wish, as I was putting this together this weekend, I wish that I had the opportunity to sit down with every single one of you just one at a time and just kind of talk about this. Because this is one of those subjects I wish I could sit across from a table and just have a cup of coffee with you. Because this is probably the most significant And one of the most important parts about following Jesus, and definitely one of the most important parts of church, and yet the truth is, it's also one of the most misunderstood and misapplied parts as well. Because what we see all through the New Testament, if you open up your Bible, but especially in the New Testament, what you discover is there's this incredible pattern that becomes very obvious in the Gospels. People are invited to trust. They're given the opportunity to believe, and then they're asked to obey. Right? In the New Testament, you see this. The people who were following Jesus, as they followed Jesus, they actually began to believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And so consequently, they ended up doing some very interesting things. They actually began to do those things that Jesus had taught them to do. And they totally reorganized their entire lives around the teaching of Jesus. They began to do money different. They became extraordinarily generous people. We see this in the New Testament. They began to do family different. They began to treat people better than they themselves had been treated in the past. They even began to do good things for their enemies. They had such a unique and different way of living their life. Their behavior, it became so curious to both the Jewish people and to the Roman people that over time, it spread like wildfire, right? Not because of fame or attention, and not because of a couple uniquely gifted or talented or famous individuals, but simply because regular, ordinary people, people like you, people like me, men and women, they decided, they said, okay, we trusted, and so we followed, and we believe, and so we're going to continue to trust that our Heavenly Father actually has our best interest in mind, that our Savior Jesus, that he really does have our best interest in mind. And so we're just going to do what Jesus has told us to do because we're so grateful for what it is that Jesus has already done for us. And you read the Gospels, you read the epistles, you'd see, it just started with like this little handful of people. But pretty quickly it became several hundred, and then eventually a few thousand, and then tens of thousands of people. And they didn't just trust, and they didn't just believe, they actually began to act. They began to take all these teachings of Jesus, these very different, very unique, sometimes odd, sometimes strange teachings of Jesus, and they began to organize their entire lives around these teachings of Jesus. And over time, their lives became so compelling. And they were so different. That difference became contagious. It became influential. And ultimately, you can read this for yourself in secular history books all over the place. Ultimately, that difference is what ended up toppling the empire that crucified Jesus. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Not because of an army and not because of political power or political leadership, but simply because regular, ordinary men and women, just regular people like us, men and women decided they were going to just do what Jesus asked them to do. They were just going to live their lives as though what Jesus said was in fact true. And I'll tell you my heart's desire for all of you this morning, and really that's all I'm going to do today, is just talk to you about something that my heart that I pray for, actually, for every single one of you all the time as your pastor. My heart's desire for all of you is that you would not simply trust, but that if you've begun to trust, that you would keep trusting, that you would keep following Jesus closely. And I hope everybody here that you actually come to the point in your life where you not only trust, but you also believe. Right? Believe in the fact that Jesus really is the one and only Son of God. Believe in the fact that Jesus paid for your sin personally. Believe that Jesus also paid for the sin of the whole world. Because believe, right, this is what makes the difference someday. But obey. Obey. Obey is actually what makes the difference today. Obey is what makes the difference in your life as an individual. Obey is what makes the difference in your marriage and in your family and as you raise your kids. Obey is what makes the difference in regards to your entertainment. Right? Obey is ultimately what brings you joy. right? And obey is what has the potential to transform culture. Obey is what has the potential to transform your family culture and your work culture. Obey is what has the potential to transform the culture in your neighborhood. Whatever the culture is, it's obey that actually has the power to make the difference. But see, the problem with obey, and you know this, right? The problem with obey is that it actually requires you and me to do something. And see, that's why so many people, when they hear this, right, when they hear this part, there's kind of this instinctive reaction in all of us where we want to just kind of throw on the brakes for a moment and say, okay, not so fast. Like, I think this is my stop. I think this is where I get off the bus. Because, you know, don't get me wrong, I like trusting. Trusting is great. I've grown a lot, right? Trusting, which is amazing. And I like believe. I mean, believe. I love the way believe makes me feel. Right? Believe makes because it makes me feel like I have eternal life. Believe is it gives me peace that I know what's going to happen to me when I die. Right? It's believe that makes me feel like God is with me. Right? Which is amazing. But to obey. I mean, if I really obey, that's going to impact my friendships. If I obey, that's going to impact my job. If I obey, I mean, this is going to impact everything. It's going to impact my money. It's going to impact, you know, my neighborhood, people my where I work. They're going to see me differently. And see, so many times it's when people get to this obey point where they put on the brakes and there's something in them that just instinctively wants to push back because you feel at some level like this is some kind of a catch. Right? Like, I like to trust, I like to believe, and we get to this part and you're like, okay, not so fast, because you feel like maybe this is some kind of a gotcha, right? And so this morning, I just want to do one thing today as we wrap this up together, and as we talk about this word, you know, obey and the whole idea of obedience. And to the best of my ability, what I want to do today is I want to try to peel back that layer of fear, that layer of resistance that some of us have around this whole idea of obey and obedience, to the point where you individually and personally, that you could actually, you know, lay in bed at night and say to your Heavenly Father, listen, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your Son, and I want my life personally as an individual, I want my life to be defined by that belief in Him. And I know that's scary for many of us, but think about it like this for a moment. Isn't it true that when you're convinced that someone has your best interest in mind, isn't it true that you're open to that person's influence? I mean, isn't this what happens when you fall in love with somebody? Suddenly you become open to that person's influence. And so consequently, when it dawns on you as an individual what your Heavenly Father has truly done for you through Jesus, the question is, why in the world would we not, as individuals, be open to His influence? And see, unfortunately, the answer to that question, and this might be your story, actually, I don't know, but the answer to that question for many of you, for many people in our world, unfortunately, is because when you started going to church, right, because you had questions about God, or you had questions about life, you had questions maybe about what happens when you die, or maybe for you is actually the exact opposite. You didn't have questions. You found yourself in a situation where kind of the events and circumstances of life converged in such a way where you knew you needed help, and you needed a lot more help than you knew anyone in this world was ever going to be able to give you, and so you started to go to church, but the church that you went to, for whatever reason, they had what we've been talking about in this series, but they had it backwards, right? Because when you went to that church, whatever church that was, however many years ago, you didn't hear trust and believe and then obey, right? You didn't hear trust, believe, obey. What you heard was just obey, right? Like, let's just start with obey. In fact, for many of you, this was the only thing that you heard. Right, just obey, right? We're so glad you're here, so just obey. We don't know your name, but come on, just obey. And it's like, you don't even know me. It's like, and you want me to change everything? about my life and my lifestyle? Like, why in the world would I do that? Well, you know, because God said so. Well, God who? Well, you know, God. So just obey. Right? You see, for some reason, and I don't know how this happened or why this happened, but so many churches in our world, they had lost sight of Jesus' first two parts of his invitation. Right, you read the Gospels, this is what we did in the first week. You see the Jesus' invitation to Matthew, and you realize, you know, Jesus never started with just obey. Jesus did not walk up to Matthew at the tax collector's booth and say, okay, Matthew, now I want you to obey me. Right, that's not what he did. He said, Matthew, I want you to follow me, and as you follow me, you're going to discover that you can trust me. Right, Zacchaeus, you can trust me, so we're going to go to your house today. Right, the woman at the well, you can trust me because I'm here to give you living water. Right, the woman caught in adultery, listen, you can trust me. And so let me get rid of your accusers for you so you and I can have a conversation and you can have your life back. Right, Jesus never, think about this, Jesus never tried to engage people who were far from God with just obey. In fact, it is so interesting to me, God himself never tried to engage people who were far from him with just obey. Right? This is the story of the Ten Commandments. This is what so many people miss about the Ten Commandments, right? And this is so important. Do you remember when the Ten Commandments were given to Israel, right? Not on day one, not on day two, not on day three, right? First, God frees the nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Then he brings them across the Red Sea. Then he feeds them in the desert. He provides water for them in the desert. He leads them by day. He protects them from danger and from enemies at night. And after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of this, of giving, providing, protecting, giving, providing, protecting, giving, providing, protecting, when everybody in the whole nation of Israel is like, this is absolutely amazing. Can you even believe what our God has done for us? Like, God, we trust you. God, we believe you. We believe you love us. Only then, this is so important, only then does God actually say to his people, now I have some things that I'd like you to do. Not to earn my love. You can tell I already love you. I mean, look at everything I've done for you. It's only then that God says, okay, I have some things that I want you to do, not so that you can earn my love, but because I love you. Because I actually created life, God says. And guess what that means? It means that I actually know how life works. So I have some things to say about marriage, not because I want to destroy your marriage, but because I created marriage. And so I know how marriage works. I have some things to say about your morality. I have some things to say about your sexuality and your morality, because guess what? I actually created sex, God says. And so I know more about sex than anyone in the world. I created money, God would say. So I actually have some things to say about money as well. And see, now that you can trust me, now that you know you can trust me, I would like to tell you, God says, how to live your life. Not so you can earn my love. Right, but because Israel, I have proven that I love you. See, that's the story of the Ten Commandments. And in the very same way, our Heavenly Father says to you and he says to me, listen, I want you to follow until you fall in love with me. And once you've fallen in love with me, then and you know you can trust me. And I want you to be open to my influence, because I really do have your best interest in mind. And so now there are some things I would like for you to do differently, not to earn my love, God says. No, I'm doing this, I'm asking this because I love you. And just like those of you who parent are parents, you know, right, that every once in a while, every father, every mother kind of has to get down on one knee and look into the eyes of their child and say to them, please, like, please trust me on this. You don't want to do this. You don't want to go there. You trust me, you're going to pay for this later. Isn't it true from time to time, every mother, every father has to look into the eyes of their child and say, listen, I know everybody in the world is doing this. I just need you to do this I just need you to trust me on this one. I know every single person, all the people that you know, everybody in your friend group, I know they all think you should do this, but you got to trust me. I need you to go a different way. Not in order to get me to love you. I'm telling you this because I love you, because I love you so much. See, that is the very same pattern that we find with God in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I don't know how it is over history, and I've read so much about this. I don't know how this is over history, how the church got this so upside down and backwards at times. But I'm telling you, the pattern has always been, would you trust me and follow me? And if you follow close enough, you might actually begin to believe. And once you begin to believe that I really have your best interest in mind, would you be open to obeying? Would you be open to just being different and making some changes in your life and your lifestyle? Would you be open to reordering your life individually and personally around the teachings of Jesus? Today we're going to look at a very famous parable, a parable that every single one of you have heard probably many different times. And the word parable simply means that the story that we're going to read is not true, but the point the story is going to make, that point is actually very true. And this parable is a short parable. It's a story that Jesus told, and Jesus told this story at the very end of his most famous sermon. And in this sermon, Jesus explained all the different things that he wanted the people who followed him to do differently in their lives and what he wanted them to do that was different than the people who lived around them and the world that they lived in. And in this sermon, Jesus told all these followers of his to do things like, you know, turn the other cheek, right? You've heard this before, turn the other cheek, right? Somebody hurts you, instead of striking back, you turn the other cheek. Right? That's not normal, right? Jesus said, when somebody asks you to do something, I actually want you to do more than they ask you to do. And it's like, every time, Jesus? And Jesus was like, yeah, every time. Oh, and by the way, Jesus said, I want you to be generous, right? If somebody asks you for something, I just want you to give them more. Just give them more than what they've asked of you. Because God knows what you need. And God's going to take care of you. So if somebody asks you for something, Jesus said, just give it to them. Oh, and by the way, Jesus said, also, I want you to forgive everybody. And it's like, okay, Jesus, don't you understand that if I forgive them, it feels like I'm letting them off, right? If I forgive them, I'm just letting them off, to which Jesus would say, well, I know, but remember, I'm letting you off. Like, that's actually why I'm here. I am here to let you off, right? I am here to forgive you. And so I just want you to forgive everybody. Right? What about this one? Jesus said, when somebody has actually wronged you, I want you to go and try to make it right. And it's like, Jesus, don't you mean like if I've wronged them? And Jesus says, no. No, if they've wronged you, then I want you to go to them and try to make it right. And it's like, no, Jesus, they should come to me. And Jesus is like, no, this is different. Right, this is brand new. This is a brand new way of living and the brand new way of seeing the world around you. I just want you to treat everybody the way that you want to be treated. And it's like, even the Romans? Yeah, even the Romans. In fact, speaking of the Romans, speaking of your enemies, Jesus said, I want you to pray for your enemies. Right? I mean, you think about this. This is all brand new. I mean, this is radical in our world today. Right? This was incredibly radical in Jesus' day. And at the end of teaching all of this, Jesus ends with his most famous parable. And the point of the parable was not, here's how to get me to love you. Right? That's not the point of the parable. The point of the parable was this, actually. If you will organize, if each of us individually, if we will organize our life around obedience to Jesus, we'll never regret what we've done. Not when you get to heaven. This is the important part. This parable has nothing to do with you going to heaven someday. Jesus was talking about in this life. When you look back on your life in this life. If you organize your life around what I teach, as difficult as it may be, as countercultural as it may be, as odd as it may be at times, Jesus says, you will never regret what you did. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Jesus starts these very familiar words. He says, therefore, because remember this comes at the end, after Jesus taught all this stuff, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, right? Now, depending on the type of church that you grew up in and your background, when you heard this word practice, right, for some of you, you were told that this meant like attendance. Like this had something to do with being in a certain place at a certain time every Sunday. Right? Others of you, you were told that this meant knowing what the right thing to do is in a certain situation. But Jesus is pretty clear. This has nothing to do with any of that, right? Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. In other words, this is a brand new way of actually doing life. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, Jesus said, is like a wise person, right, who built their house on a rock. Right? And when Jesus said this, everybody in his audience that day kind of have the same reaction that you're having right now, because he wasn't saying anything like incredibly new or dramatic. It was like, yeah, of course, Jesus, that's true, right? If you're going to build a house, of course you're going to build a house on a rock. You dig. That's what everybody does when you build a house. You dig down through the dirt, you find rock, and you put the foundation on rock. I mean, who in the world would go through all the time and all the expense and all the effort and all the energy of building a house and not build their house on something that's stable? Not build their house on something that isn't going to shift and change over time. And so Jesus says, okay, let me tell you about obedience to me. Obedience to me, Jesus would say, is not about making yourself look a certain way. Obedience to me is not about trying to make God happy with you. Obedience to me is not about where you go when you die, Jesus would say. It's not about heaven. Jesus says obedience to me is actually the equivalent of just building your house on a rock. It's the equivalent of doing what everybody knows is, in fact, the smart thing to do. It's the equivalent of making a decision that you will not ever regret. It's not like, you know, put into practice on Monday and then you're going to see the result by Thursday, Jesus would say. No, I'm talking about the foundation of your entire life. If you will organize your life, not your weekend, right? Not your week, not your month, not a couple of months, not just a couple of years. If you will organize your life, Jesus is saying, around what it is that I teach, you will not look back on what you've built with regret. Because, verse 25, he said, the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. See, Jesus says, listen, you don't need me to tell you this, but you know this. Life isn't good sometimes. Life is going to be difficult, right? People are going to break their promise. He's not going to be everything you thought he was. She's not going to be everything you thought she was. I mean, let's just be honest. Life is just life sometimes. And Jesus says, come on, I love you. And in this world, you're going to have trouble. So he invites us to ask the question, what happens to my life, which is like a house, when I have trouble? See, Jesus says what ultimately happens to your life, which is like a house, it's not determined by how pretty it is. It's determined by how firm the foundation is, where you set that foundation. Jesus says, come on, I love you, right? And I want you to be able to withstand the storms of this life. And there's going to be some storms in this life. There's going to be marriage storms. There's going to be family storms. There's going to be kids storms. There's going to be relationship storms. There's going to be financial storms. There's going to be health storms. Jesus says, come on, you know this. There's just going to be storms in this life. And if you'll organize your life around the teachings that I've given to you, if you'll move from trust to believe, to obey, Right? Then when the storms of life come, Jesus says, at the end of the day, you may lose a couple shingles and a shutter, but your house will remain intact. Now, I'm telling you, that is a very, very significant promise. In fact, the truth is, most of us in this room right now are old enough, right, to be able to look back on other people that we know, people who are a little bit older than we are, who have either withstood or succumbed to some pretty serious storms in life. And see, I would be willing to bet you're probably just like me when you see that happen, right? You sit there and you see that happen in somebody else's life, and you think to yourself, I wonder how I would respond if that were to happen to me. I wonder what happened in my marriage if that were to happen to us. I wonder what would happen, to me emotionally and mentally, to my state of mind, my emotional health, if I had to face a situation like that. And see, your Savior, who loves you, is saying the best preparation that any of us can make for the future is to do something now to organize our lives around His teaching. And then Jesus goes on and He says this. He says in verse 26, He says, but everyone, right, not just Jewish people, right, He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and who does not put them into practice, right? In other words, you had the opportunity, right? You had the opportunity to act on what you know that I've taught, but you chose not to. That person is like a foolish person who built their house on sand. And it's like, for some of us, you hear that and you think, okay, Jesus, are you calling me a fool right now? Is that what you're saying to me, Jesus? And Jesus is like, okay, just listen for a minute. If you decide to do your marriage, and you decide to do your morality and your sexuality and your money and all these other things that you've heard me talk about, if you decide to go and do all those things in a way that's contrary to what I teach, then yeah, you're kind of being like a foolish person. You're kind of being a person who would go and do the exact opposite of what anyone would ever do. You're thinking like a person who says, you know what, I want to live by the water because the view is better, the breeze is better, I just like the water better, I don't want to have to drag my boat all over town, so I'm going to go live by the water, but you know, it's so expensive, and I don't want to go through all that hassle of buying a piece of property and building a new house, so I, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go, and I'm just going to build my house on the sand, on the beach. That's what I'm going to do. Right? And Jesus is like, come on, I'm just telling you. Not because I'm mad at you, right? This isn't about heaven and hell. This isn't, in order to get you to love me, Jesus would say. To ignore what I teach, even if you trust, and even if you believe, don't miss that, to ignore what I teach, to refuse to obey, it's just the equivalent of building your life on sand, building your house on sand. Matthew tells us how Jesus wrapped all this up. He said this. He said, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority. You know what that means? It means that people sat there and they listened to Jesus that day and they heard him say all these things, and as hard as his teaching was to embrace and as new and as different and as strange and odd as it seemed, it means that everyone who was there that day just sat there and said, you know, it's like he knows. Like, I can't explain it. I can't put it into words, but it's just like he knows what he's talking about. Now, every single one of us today, we're going to hear this parable in one of three ways. For some of you, it's going to strike you as a comfort. For others of you, this is going to sound a little bit like a warning. And yet for others of you, This parable actually provides a bit of an explanation. It comes as a comfort to some of you because a year ago, maybe a couple years ago, maybe many years ago, you know, you decided to organize your life around to the best of your ability, right? You're not perfect, but to the best of your ability, you tried to organize your life around the teachings of Jesus, and so you changed the way you handle your money. You changed how you're doing your marriage. You changed how you interact with people at work. How you lead people at work, how you work at work. You changed in regards to even the honesty level of the conversations that you have with people at work. You changed all that. But isn't it true that from time to time you lay in bed at night and you ask yourself and you think, okay, is it worth it? I mean, because I am missing out. I mean, I'm the one going home early. My friends are all staying out late. I'm missing deals. I'm missing opportunities. I mean, my family thinks I'm crazy because I'm giving away more money than I've ever given away in my life. But see, to the best of my ability, I am trying to be not just a follower and not just a believer. I'm actually trying to be a doer. Okay, I'm telling you, if that is you, then this morning, this parable should be a comfort to you because you should hear Jesus reinforcing to you that you have made a wise decision in your life. You're doing the hard work. You've chosen the more difficult path. You are making a sacrifice, absolutely, a sacrifice that the world around you would tell you is silly, but you're like a wise builder, Jesus is saying, because you're laying a foundation that will serve you and your family well for the rest of your life. And when the bumps and the storms of life come, Jesus would say, that's when you're going to appreciate your foundation more than you ever have before. Now, for others of you, you hear this, and this feels a little bit like a warning today, because you grew up in the church, or you've heard all this before, you're very familiar with the Bible, you know all the stories, you know the verses before I even say what the verses are, or you've begun to believe, and you've started to follow, and you're thinking, you know, this is all great, but I'm not doing any of that stuff. Like, I'm actually happy with the way I'm living my life. Right now, don't get me wrong. I like to believe. I like church. I like the way it makes me feel. I like singing the songs. I like the peace that it gives me. I mean, I love all that. But I'm not gonna do any of that stuff. Jesus would say to you, listen, you're laying a foundation. You're laying a foundation now for your future life, for your future marriage, for your future family, for your future finances. You're laying a foundation. And if you're laying a foundation contrary to what I'm teaching, eventually the bumps and the storms are going to come. And that's not a warning, like Jesus is going to come and get you. That's like, I love you. I love you. And see, you've learned to trust me. And so I just want you to trust me enough, Jesus would say, to continue to trust me and to obey. And see, for many of you, maybe you sit here and you think to yourself, you know, Joe, I've lived my life the way I want to for the last 5 years, and there is nothing wrong. Like, when I look out, all I see are a bunch of blue skies. Jesus would say, come on, your time frame is too short. Right? This isn't about Monday to Friday. Right? This is the foundation of your whole life. Now is the time. While you still have the time. Right? Because I'm telling you, when you're in the middle of a storm and you've begun to experience the consequences, that is not the time to come to the conclusion, uh-oh, I think I built my foundation in the wrong place. When you're in the middle of the flood, once you begin to realize, I've made the wrong decision, by that time it is too late to do anything about what you're experiencing. For some of you, you hear this as a little bit of an explanation this morning. This is why, actually, so many people come back to Jesus, not just in their hearts and not just in their heads after a serious storm in life. Why? Because everything was going great. But then suddenly a storm came and it wiped out my foundation. And I'm telling you, if that's you this morning, and you're just sitting here and you're hearing all this and you're taking it all in and you're just wondering, all I want to say to you today is simply this. it is not too late. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be quick. I'm not saying that magically all the consequences are going to disappear. I'm just simply saying, as you personally consider what it means to rebuild, you got to answer the question, who are you going to trust? And would you be willing to say, listen, I want my future to be different than my past. And yeah, this is going to be radical, but you know what? I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey. If he sent his son to die for me, then I can trust him. I'm telling you, the obedience is what makes the difference. And it doesn't make the difference necessarily in the next 48 hours, although that certainly is possible. Obedience is what makes the difference in your life. And so Jesus invites you to trust and to follow him until you believe, and to believe until you're willing to obey. And if you live your life in this way, your Savior promises you, he promises you that when the storms of life come, as serious as they may still be, they may ever be, you will still be standing. Because Jesus says, listen, I am the author of life, and I know best how life works. In fact, that's the reason I'm here. I am here to give you life. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I know that for all of us, this lands in a different place this morning. And so, Father, I just pray for the person that's here today and who is trying to the best of their ability to obey and to listen to you. Father, I pray. I just pray that you allow them to hear this as confirmation of what it is that you have led them to do in their lives. Father, for the person who hears this and it feels like a warning, I just ask Jesus that you would give, Holy Spirit, that you would give them the faith to trust you and to maybe make some decisions differently than they have been recently. And Father, for the person that's here today because of a storm in life that has just kind of taken them and wiped them down, Father, I pray especially that that storm would not allow them to turn their back on you, but rather to see you as the God that you really are, the God who says, I love you, and I'm here to help you build a new foundation. And Father, for all of us, and all the times that each of us have decided that we know better than you do, we just ask that you would hear us as we confess our sin to you.